Crashing, Lord, to an end, knowing that the U.S. and Russia are no longer talking. They're not on diplomatic discourse. We know the time is close. 33 days from now, the election will take place. We don't know what it'll bring, but we know that your prophet, vindicated by you, said that a woman would be president or in some great office. Or it could be the Catholic Church. We know the Pope has already made a pact with the U.S. We know that he is moving the nations closer and closer into such great indebtedness that the world will look to the Catholic Church to bail him out. And Father, as the world is escalating into sin, we know that your bride is becoming more and more like your son Jesus. We are being transformed by the renewing of our mind and conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Help us, O God, to understand what it's all about. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to be speaking again from Rising of the Sun. And in a mini-series on the seed for every season, this will be number 5, and kind of a mini-series within a mini-series, we're going to look at the attributes of God's seed, and this will be number 2 in that. Now, this evening, I would like to continue with the Rising of the Sun, and especially the mini-series which developed out of paragraph 20, where Brother Branham spoke concerning the seeds of God that were planted in the earth, and they had to come forth in the season that they were appointed to come forth. This will be number 5 in our mini-series concerning the thought of a seed for every season. And this will be number 2 concerning the attributes of that God seed. Now, the attribute we should speak on tonight is that every seed of God is born of the Word of God. Therefore, it is born of an incorruptible seed, which is a revealed and vindicated Word of God. Now, before we go into the sermon, I'd just like to say this, that this understanding should give us such a rest and such a peace. To know that it's God's own life that dwells in you. It's His own predestined thoughts that are incarnate in you. Therefore, what do we have to worry about? We find in the Scripture, it speaks in 1 Peter 1:23. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Now, concerning this incorruptible seed, Brother Brown said in a sermon, law having a shadow, he said, for a grain of corn cannot produce a cockleburr, neither can cockleburr produce corn. And if you're sowed with the incorruptible seed of God, born again of the Spirit of God, your whole motive, everything in your whole life goes toward God. So if it doesn't, you're not born again. From identification, he said, we've got to take the entire full gospel. We must. And now, being that we have identified ourselves as full gospel people, let's mold our character. We're invited to be molded in his image, that we might reflect his presence. And the works that I do, shall you do also. The life that I live, so shall you. We're invited by God to take him as an example, and let our character be molded like his. What a thing, my. Then when we let his character be in us, then we have become sons by having the mind of Christ, the mind, which is his character. Your mind makes your character. Let the mind, Paul said, of Christ, this mind that was in Christ be in you. And the NIV says, let the attitude that was in Christ be in you. See, that's your character. Let that mind of Christ be in you. It molds the character of a son of God. Again, I'm going to read 1 Peter. I'm going to keep coming back to the scripture because I want to just plant it in your minds. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. You're born again of incorruptible seed. If it's incorruptible, you cannot corrupt. If it's incorruptible, you cannot be ashamed. We're not ashamed of Christ. By the word of God which lives and abides forever. From the message Abraham, Brother Brown said, if a seed goes in the ground, a grain of wheat, it cannot produce anything else but a grain of wheat. So if you go around and say, well, praise the Lord, I've been saved, I've got the Holy Ghost, and living any kind of a life, you better get back to the altar of God again, because the incorruptible seed of God cannot be one thing. You cannot be a wheat and a cocklover at the same time. You've either got to be wheat or a cocklover. You've got cocklovers down here, all right, greenbrier then, what you want to call it. Some other call it weeds. You see, you can't be a weed and a wheat at the same time. If you've got the spirit in you of the life of wheat, you'll produce wheat. If you've got the spirit in you of the life of a cocklover, it'll be a cocklover. And if the Holy Ghost is in you, you'll believe God, you'll love God, and you'll act like a Christian. That's right. And if it isn't, you'll know them by their fruits that they bear. Oh, what we need today is a good old-time Holy Ghost revival. What we need today is an old-time shaking again of the power of God, a moving of the mulberry bush to go forward to battle again. God's giving the moving if people will just listen to it and believe it. Now, in Romans 8, and Ephesians 1, and Galatians 4, and Hebrews chapters 1, 3, and 7, we are shown not only the pattern of behavior is predetermined by the seed that we receive, but if we truly are born of God by the same Spirit that was in Jesus, then we must do the same things that He did. William Branham said in his spoken word of the original seed, he said, if Son of God's seed is in us, plural, we, plural, will produce Son of God. For Brother Branham, he also said in the same sermon, Jesus was the example seed or the pattern seed. And since He was the original seed and the law of reproduction says every seed must come forth after its kind or nature or life in the seed, then if Son of God's seed produced an obedient son in the original seed, which is Jesus, it will also produce obedient sons in other seeds that came forth from the original seed, or the law of reproduction in Genesis 1:11 means absolutely nothing. Now in 1 Peter 1:23 we read, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which lives. It lives and it abides forever. Again, from the message of Abraham, he said, we don't have nothing to worry about. If God called us into His loving grace, brother, I'm telling you, if you've ever been born again of the Spirit of God, you ought to be the happiest person in the world. Because you have eternal life, everlasting life, and you cannot perish. Amen. You're sowed with the incorruptible seed of God. Now listen, we are reading Scripture tonight that says we've been sowed with an incorruptible, unperishable seed. We cannot perish. He knows every single hair on your head. He's got a number. Haven't lost a one. Now, what about all this talk about Russia getting ready to go to war with the U.S.? It's going to happen. But we have a vindicated prophet said, not before one of those missiles strikes the earth will be in the arms of Christ. We've got to focus on this particular scripture. Let's do it all week. That we are born of an incorruptible seed, an unperishable seed. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. 1 Peter 1:23 again. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. From the message I Will Restore, Brother Brown said, Esau and Jacob, while Esau was more of a gentleman looking than Jacob was, but Jacob had recompense to the reward. He believed in that birthright and he held on to it regardless. There you are. We can take Israel. When Israel was coming up, now look at these two vines now. I'm bringing them from Genesis, and as they go up, now Christians here, there's many a Lutheran setting here in Baptist, don't condemn them people. They lived in their age. Jesus said, every word of God is a seed. Is that right? A sower went forth sowing seed. He said, I, the Son of Man, have sowed the seed, and the seed's the Word of God. And every time you see this Bible say anything, it's a seed, and it's absolutely, and we're sowed with the incorruptible seed of God. And if a man will take any divine promise of God in his heart and water it with faith, it'll produce just exactly what it said it would do. That's John 14:12. Amen. Don't care what it is. Just take God's promise in your heart and there. John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now remember, Brother Brown taught us that you can't believe until you got the Holy Ghost. In fact, that's what John says. 1 Peter 1:23 again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. From seal of God. When a grain of wheat falls into the earth, no matter if that grain of wheat dies to itself, it can't produce a cocklebur to save its soul. A grain of wheat will bring forth a grain of wheat just as sure as anything. And if we are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God, how can it produce anything but a life of Christ's life? The Holy Spirit leading the church leads it in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you're sealed until the day of your redemption. That's the Bible. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption. Ephesians 4:30. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Listen, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. I believe I got the Holy Ghost. I believe many of you do. Do you realize that's God life living in you? Do you realize that's imperishable? Do you realize that that is uncorruptible seed? Can't be corrupted. They can come, they can offer you bribes, they can do this, that, and the other, you won't take it. Because you're living to a higher power. From expectations, and what is love? Brother Brown said, just like a grain of corn, when it goes into the ground, it cannot be a creeper, cocklebur, jimson weed, or cactus stalk. It's got the life of it, in it of corn. It'll produce corn. And if a man's ever born to the Spirit of God, he becomes a new creature and can't produce nothing else but godly fear and godly love and the fruits of the Spirit, for it is life. We are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God, the imperishable seed of God. It's got to produce just exactly of its kind. Amen. I hope I'm not too loud. Notice, it's got its life in it. When a grain of corn goes into the ground, if it's a yellow grain, it'll produce a yellow stalk of corn, yellow grain of corn. If it goes in a wheat, it'll produce a wheat. A barley will be a barley. Whatever it will produce just exactly what it says. So if you got the Holy Ghost, you have God life in you. 1 John 5:5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And you can't believe unless you got the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 1:23 again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which lives and abides forever. From what thinking of Christ, Brother Brown says, then you transit it out into the yard, and just keeps growing. But you can praise God just as soon as you get that acorn. Is that right? Because you've got the tree already. Is that right? Now, when God said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee, just start praising. You got it, and you got it right. You got it right then. You say, well, I don't see any results, but that don't make any difference. You've got it anyhow. See? Because the Word of God is a seed. Is that right? And we are sowed with incorruptible seed of God. See, it can't perish, it's incorruptible. And here's a statement that I usually make in the healing service. The right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. See? Because it's a seed, it has to. Being born again. Not of a corruptible seed. This word that we're feeding on, brother and sister, is not man's words. Man's words will fail. What we're feeding on is the body word of the Son of Man. We are feeding on thus saith the Lord. We are feeding on God's Word. Because we have God's seed. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. from faith once delivered to the saints, Brother Rafferty, and that's the way Jesus Christ is. He keeps us. We don't keep Him. He keeps us. It's not whether I can hold on. It's whether He held on or not. It's like the Bible says, it's Him that worketh in you to will and to do. God working in you to will and to do. He said, that's the main thing. It's what He done. What God did for me in Christ is what I am today. That's what you are by the sovereign grace of God. Now, in order, if you went out here and looked at your field, or a big field, was all plowed up and fixed up real nice, and there's something planted in there, the only way that you're going to know what's planted in there is to go back and raise up the clods and look under there and see what the seed is. You'll find out that what kind of a crop you'll have by the kind of seed you got planted. Is that right? When our Bible said that we are sown with the incorruptible seed of God, imperishable, it cannot perish. God's Word can't perish. Now, every seed will bring forth of its kind. Therefore we read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're going to a millennium. Maybe 1,000 years, or it could be millennia, it could be thousands, we don't know. But we know one thing for certain. We don't stop there. We go to the New Jerusalem next. Brother, sister, our life is eternal. Now, many of us are getting older. This body of this death is called. Doesn't stop the soul. The soul is on and on and on. And just comes back, if we go into the grave, it just comes back, picks up the body again, and it'll live eternally. It's an imperishable seed that's been planted in us. Hallelujah. Faith, from faith in the Son of God, Brother Rafferty, the devil won't judge by the good things. He will judge by the worst things. He throws it all over on the Word. The same thing he will do by Christians. He will say, look at there. Look at that guy. Supposed to be a Christian out there living with this other man's wife, drinking liquor, doing these things there. Well, I'm as good as he is. Well, sure, you're probably better than he is. But brother, that guy has nothing to do with the man who's really living a real Christian life and loves Christ. If he loves Christ, he won't do those things. For he's born of the Spirit of God, and the seed of God remains in him, and he will have no desire to do that. The Bible said the worshiper, once purged, has no more conscience or no more desire of sin. And if you still have the desire, you haven't been purged yet. That's just one thing sure, see? If you still have a desire in your heart to go out and lust and sin, just remember, my friend, you need to come back to God, back to the altar, for we are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God, and ordinary, say, grain of wheat won't perish if it's in the right kind of a ground. How about the seed of God, which is incorruptible? It's got to produce just exactly what He said it will. In John 3:36, says, he that believeth, that's us. He that believeth on the Son hath, or echoes, everlasting life. And he that believeth not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me echoes everlasting life. In questions and answers, Brother Branham said, but the wicked shall be punished for their sins according to the deeds that's done in the body, and then will become completely and totally annihilated. Now, just remember that. You that's taking down notes, remember that. You put me on record of that there's only one form of eternal life, and we're seeking for that. And God alone has eternal life. There's no two types of eternal life. One eternal life, and that's all that lives. And remember, put it on your note too, everything that has been made that had a beginning has an end. Everything that had a beginning has an end, and only that had no beginning had no end. And there's only one thing that never had a beginning, and that was God. And that's the only way that you could rise in the resurrection, is to have that eternal life within you. See? That's the only way that you could ever come back, is something that had no beginning. And when you have received the Holy Spirit in you, dwells a life that never did start and never can end. And you possess that life in you, then you've got eternal life and are sons and daughters of God. See? And you can no more die than God can die, because you are a part of God. You know, it boggles my mind when I think of the vastness of the universe and the galaxies and all the different universes out there. And to think, before every one of them, before any of them was even spoken into existence. We were already in God's mind. And already, before he even did that, he planted us in his word earth. Yes, like I told you when I read Brother Mel's sermon on Logos. He wrote it out word for word. He said, before there was physical horse, there was spirit horse. God spoke it. It was spirit. Then God clothed it. God spoke the earth, placed all the seeds in the earth. Then he clothed it. So we were here before the earth was even formed. Before the foundations of the earth. Romans 10 and verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You see, well, how can you be ashamed when it's God living in your life? God working in you to will and to do. 1 Peter 2 and 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on me and on him shall not be confounded. Now listen. In order for something to perish, there has to be a setting for it to perish. In other words, before a person can perish, they've got to be confounded. And that's what it says, we can't be confounded. We can't have our mind all messed up. We have the mind of Christ. 1 Peter 1, 3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from among the dead to an inheritance. Now listen, to an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now we've all read stories about men that store up great wealth, and then when their son took over the business, he ran it well. But then when the grandson took it over, it started to flounder, and by the fourth generation, they lost everything. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. You're never going to be able to spend it all. It's a tree of life. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. From things that are to be, he said, now, Paul, if we could just fathom, brothers and sisters, you know, we're going through hard times in this earth. It's all trials and tests to see what our character is going to shape up to be. And if we're born again, it's going to be Christ. Can you imagine for an eternity? No pain, no suffering, no achy bones, no weather affecting your health. I just get excited about that. No, not have to worry about what you eat. Things are to be. Now, the only way that you can be a son or daughter of God is because you have to have eternal life. And there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God's life. Only one form of eternal life, and that was God. Therefore, to be a son of God, you had to be in him always. The gene of your life, spiritual life tonight, was in God the Father before there was even a molecule. See? And you are nothing but the manifestation of the gene of life that was in God as a son of God. Now you're expressed. After his word has come in you to light up this age, you are expressing God's life in you. You know what Paul said? I am crucified. Nevertheless, I'm living, but not me that's living, but Christ is living in me. Because you are a son or daughter of God, therefore, you get what I mean? See, you are now made. You're setting in this church tonight because your duty is to express God to this nation and to this people and to this neighborhood where you associate. Wherever you are, God knew that you would be here because you have to be one of his genes or his attributes. You had to be. If you got eternal life, then it always was eternal life. And God, before there was a foundation of the world, knew that you would be here. And when the word or the water, the washing of water of the word fell upon you, it was expressed in a being. Now you have fellowship with your Father God, just as you have fellowship with your earthly father. See? You are citizens of the King, not citizens, but you are children, sons and daughters of the living God, if it be that the eternal life dwells in you. From Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So if we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings, then why are we living so under our privilege as sons and daughters of God? We ought to step into it, claim it. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him or in His presence, and in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Lord. As a parent and as a grandparent, I can just say this. I love to be able to bestow things upon my children and my grandchildren. And that's what we just read there. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. God has done it. He's excited about doing it. For modern events made clear by prophecy, He said, "For you're a gene of your father, and you were in your father, yet your father had no fellowship with you, because you was in there, but you knew it not, and he knew it not. But you was manifested that he might fellowship with you. And you being born again, you're born of eternal life." And that's the only one form of eternal life, and that's God life. Zoe, the Greek word Zoe, only one form of eternal life. "Then if you are a son or daughter of God, you are in God all the time. But he knew what bed and time that you'd be planted. So now that you're made a creature, a son of God, manifest as son or daughter of God, to meet the challenges of this hour, to vindicate the true and living God of this hour, the message that's coming forth in this time." That's right. "It was done there before the foundation of the world. And if it wasn't, if you wasn't chose that way, no matter how much you try to impersonate it, you'll never make it. How can you get blood from a turnip when there's no blood in there?" From Identified Masterpiece, Brother Branham said, "Now remember, there's only one form of eternal life, and even our names and our thoughts were with God before there was a foundation of the world. Because now we possess eternal life. And to be that we have to be a part of God. So we'd have to be as much as in His thoughts, because we have eternal life and was predestined to this life. And our names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundations of the world. According to Revelation, now that God had us in His thinking, then we have eternal life. Because then he spoke us and we come into existence, and a word is just a thought manifested. God had us in the beginning in His thoughts. From God's power to transform, He said, sons and daughters was in God at the beginning. Now look, you got eternal life and you say, well, we believe it, that we got eternal life. Well, there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. That's the only thing that is eternal is God. Then if you got eternal life, that life that's in you always was, and you were in the loins of God before there even was a world. And when the world itself, Jesus Himself, is called the Word, and in St. John 1, said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then you were in the loins of Jesus and went to Calvary with Him. You died with Him, and you raised with Him. And today we're sitting in heavenly places in Him, filled with His Spirit, sons and daughters of God, died with Him, raised with Him, sure. Doesn't Paul say in Romans 8:11, if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it'll quicken your mortal body? Now we read from John chapter 3, verse 3 to 8. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see. In other words, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now I'm reading all these scriptures tonight about you can't perish. Don't worry about what's coming for this world. It doesn't have anything to do with you. 1 Corinthians 15:53-54. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Brother Branham said from the serpent seed, he said, we believe in the second coming of Christ, the visible corporal body of the Lord, not spirit, but the corporal body of the Lord Jesus coming again in glory. We believe in the physical resurrection of the dead to receive a body, not old and wrinkled as we go into the grave, but new one with a very bliss of youth to live forever. We believe in the immortality of the soul, absolutely. We believe there's only one form of eternal life, and that's the life that you get from Christ Jesus. That's exactly right. Therefore, we do not believe in eternal punishment. We believe in hellfire and brimstone burning, but we don't believe it burns forever. If it does, you got eternal life. But there's only one eternal life, and that comes from God. That's right. You'll be burnt maybe for 1 million years or 10 million years, I don't know, but you can't have eternal life. You can't burn forever. You can burn forever, but not eternally. There's a difference between eternal and forever. Forever is, well, forever and forever, a conjunction, you know, it says forever and forever, a conjunction, it means a space of time. But eternal, you do not have eternal life. You have eternal life because there's only one form of eternal life, and he that has eternal life lives and is blessed of God forever. Blessed of God forever. Not like this week and then not blessed next week and then maybe the next week you're blessed. Forever. But the soul that sinneth, that soul shall die. What? Die. When it has its eternal life. Certainly it has. It has its punishment but not eternal life. So you see there's many things yet to be taught. We'll get on to that later. Lord bless you. Now look, Jesus speaking of eternal nature. He said in Luke 21 and 18, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. Not even, look, if we are imperishable, uncorruptible seed, not one hair, not one fingernail, not one hair on your finger will perish. It can't. And if not one hair of our head will perish, then what about our entire being? In Matthew 18 and 14, even so, it is not the will of your Father, is it not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish? Your children, born of your flesh, flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone, spirit of your spirit. Your duty is to present Christ to them, to get them to come to the place where they're quickened, and the eternal life seed, the gene seed of God that's in them, gets caught up by that light. That's your job. And it's God's job to keep them from perishing. Luke 13, 3-5, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. For those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, you all shall likewise perish. So it all comes down to this. Either God predestined you to life, or he didn't. And if he did, then you have in your ability, you have in yourself the ability to repent. But if he did not, you don't have that ability to repent. Now, in John chapter 1, verse 12, he said that we have the word is exousia. He said we have an ability to make a right decision, and that's to repent. In Hebrews 12 and 14, we read, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For you know that how afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. How many times at a Billy Graham crusade do people come up and they boo-hoo-hoo and they cry with crocodile tears, and then they go away because they don't get the Holy Ghost. They go away and they do the same sin. The next revival come up, they come up to the altar and they boo-hoo-hoo again. Look, Esau tried to repent, and how many churchgoers do the same thing today? They try to repent of their wicked ways, but because they're not born again, they are unable to fully do so, which means to change the mind, and thus to change their way of life. In Romans 9 and 8 we read, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at that time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we then say? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Now these were twins, Esau and Jacob. Now, what can I say? One was given in his seed an ability to repent, and the other was not. One was given a love for God's word, and one wasn't. From what shall we do with Jesus? See, now, as an individual, I'm going to ask you, what will you do with this anointed word which is in Christ? The word that was promised for this day. You as an individual, Pilate never got it off of his hand. You know that. He screamed and cried, and in every scheme that he could do, he failed to do it. There's a legend up in Switzerland there where blue water washes up where he committed suicide. You know the history of it. He finally run him crazy and he committed suicide. Why? Why didn't he repent? He couldn't repent. No more than Esau could repent. He had done it. Don't you let that happen to you. One thing God asked for, repent, and then be baptized. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But you've got to repent. As far as in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the uncorruptible seed that is your word which lives, and your word that abides in us. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm alive. I'm living. Yet, it's not Paul that's living, but it's Christ that's living in me. And Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name that you would bring forth in our bodies the manifestation of the sons of God. We pray that we would be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And we pray that we would be positionally placed, ready to receive our body change. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee.